Almost a week ago, comedian and actor Robin Williams committed suicide, and since then we came to learn that Williams was suffering from depression and had the early stages of Parkinson's disease, that from his wife. For the outsider looking in, they saw a man with a lightning-fast comedic mind who could make the world laugh or at the same time take on dramatic film roles that would, in one case, win him an Oscar. Those people also wonder why, with everything that Williams had, why he couldn't just, quote-unquote, snap out of it. And even some called what he did selfish. Here to discuss depression, suicide, and, well, just maybe how it's the people around the person in trouble who are the actual selfish ones, since they just want from that person and fail to give when needed, is therapist, teacher, motivational speaker, author of 15 books, founder of Country Cures, Dr. Gilda Carl. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Chris. It's so good to talk to you again.
Always an education. DrGilda.com and CountryCures.org. Of course, we have those links over our website, too. And, you know, just when I see articles online, I always like going to the comments that people post on the bottom, because that gives you really a feeling of whether or not people understand or get what's happening. And that's what really bothered me, was how, like I said in the introduction, if only people could just snap out of it when it came to depression, you know, we'd be stronger people overall, but that just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. Depression has a lot of causes, and very often we try to hide how depressed we are because it's not socially acceptable. So nobody really knows what's going on in somebody else's head. So when someone suddenly snaps, we can't understand that. And we say, well, why didn't that person just take a pill, which is so prevalent in our culture? Sure, take a pill and you won't suffer anymore. It's not that simple.
And with someone like with Williams, too, he would be this extreme lightning quick comedy genius on stage. And ironically, his mentor was Jonathan Winters, who also had to deal with depression. He was also bipolar. He actually, a little movie trivia, if you ever remember that movie, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, he took that role as the truck driver in that film as part of his recommendation by a psychologist to get back into the real world.
You see, what people tend to forget is that when somebody plays a role, there is some truth to their character as to how they are reflecting that role. So it's not just, well, I'll memorize some lines. I'm getting deep into the character and going to be able to talk to the character, talk as the character, because I reflect some of those feelings myself. And this is why, you know, it's nice to go to the movies and for us to watch what's happening on stage and absolutely forget about what's happening in our own lives. However, you have to remember, all of us as artists, I as a writer, somebody else as a singer, somebody else as an actor, we all reflect ourselves in our art form.
It's a matter of, again, the masking, where you're Robin's on stage. Okay, this is what people expect me to do right now. I have to do this as opposed to being myself. It's not like he could get up on microphone and confess that, sorry, folks, ain't got it tonight, and here's why.
Well, I wonder if we are attracted to certain professions because of our feelings inside, or if the professions present themselves to us, and then we say, that was kind of interesting. I'm attracted to that simply because it's fun. You know, who knows if the cart comes before the horse or the horse comes before the cart. We just don't know a lot about mental illness. And each year, 34,000 people commit suicide. And that's one death per 15 minutes. And that's twice as many deaths as are caused by homicide. So these statistics are ever climbing. And as you know, Chris, I'm working with veterans for my nonprofit company, Country Cures. And boy, the depression rate and the suicide rate among vets is climbing and is outpacing anything that it has been in previous years. So this is a tremendous difficult problem that we must master, and we really haven't.
Talking with Dr. Gilda Carl on the web. It's drgilda.com. She mentioned Country Cures. You find out more about that aspect of her work at countrycures.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm hesitating only because, for you listening, I never sit here to make, I see so many hosts make everything about them, and I never do that. I've never done that in all the years I've done this show, but I think it's time to maybe every rule there is an exception, and Dr. Gill just sort of opened the door to me to come forward to say that, why can I do a segment on depression? Because I went through depression in 1995, and I laugh it off almost to the point where I accept people's word that I was some sort of active participant in that year, because quite frankly, I remember nothing, at least positive, of that year. But I think the aftermath of Robin Williams dying and the people's response of they use the term demons possessed him, possessed by demons, as if some outside source came in and attacked the person. And the truth is that people break and people become in need of repair, and that's really what depression is.
Absolutely, and I thank you for being so forthright about your own problems. I mean, there is nobody who is insightful and sensitive to the world around who has not experienced some depression. I have statistics from the World Health Organization, and they find that by 2030, depression will outpace cancer, stroke, war, and accidents as the world's leading cause of disability and death. Now, that's very frightening. What are we doing about it?
And people always think, too, that, again, that term, that selfishness comes in. People harm themselves when they're depressed, not always willingly, not always consciously, subconsciously, unwillingly, unwittingly even. You just get destructive and out of control.
Well, I'm not so sure using the word selfish is the right word either. Selfish, why? Because now we are denied his brilliance, his humor. Why? Because he packed it in when he had this loving family around him. Why? And who are we to judge? You know, he tried to end his pain. I think it's also very interesting that he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Now, I have a very close friend, a physician, who, an anesthesiologist of all things, who ended up with Parkinson's disease. And he had to do some major life changes. And this was not easy at all. He didn't commit suicide. But who knows what was really going on within him when he couldn't insert needles during operations and do the profession he worked so hard to achieve. You know, life deals us some pretty significant blows, and either we grow from them or we collapse into them. And it's very, very hard to get over those hurdles if we don't have help. And one of the things in your mention of your own depression, you know, a lot of men will not admit to that. And that's what we're finding with the veterans.
Well, no,
that's what we found during, you know, 9/11, because these macho guys felt that they had to maintain their image outside in the world. And Robin had a specific image in the world. Perhaps he did not want to tarnish that image as his legacy.
No, certainly not to sound sexist or anything, but with the, you know, when his wife revealed that he had the early stages of Parkinson's disease, like it or not, we as guys will say, well, we can't come through like we're supposed to. We can't come through anymore like we're expected to. And some people can deal with that, others can't.
And others can't. Listen, my father was macho, and he had terrible stomach ailments. I didn't even know they were living, he and my mom were living in Florida. I didn't even know it. And he would not go to a doctor. Goodness, never. I mean, that would be admitting some kind of ailment. So he continued popping Tums into his stomach, and this pain didn't go away. Well, he died of a bleeding ulcer. Who dies of a bleeding ulcer today? That could have been really taken care of. So I think of him all the time, and I think of the men around me and how difficult it is for them. And, you know, if you're a woman and you're listening to this broadcast right now, I ask all of us as females to just try to make it a little easier for our men to let down their hair and be honest about what is going on within them. Everybody needs somebody. We all need support. And this is the most beautiful gift we can give to somebody. Listen and care.
Wrapping up our time with Dr. Gilda Carl, drgilda.com on the web, and Country Cures, one of her projects, is countrycures.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I can underscore what you said, and I was blessed because I was on the cusp, again, not willingly, not consciously, but at a friend's wedding, and, you know, maybe the curse of being the happy drunk, they just kept putting the Finlandia vodka bottle in front of me, and when the EMTs finally found me, I had stopped breathing. It took three attempts to get a pulse on me, and fortunately, from that point on, I had a good support system, found a therapist to get my, you know, put the broken pieces back where they belong, and for family and so-called friends to look at someone and say, Joe's in a mood today. I'm just going to stay away from Joe today.
Yeah, right.
That is not being a member, a family member, or being a friend. I referred to this last week's show, that a friend of mine had an experience parallel to what mine was. It sent me into the darkness, and she came back into work and talked, you know, people smother and say really empty things or what they think this person wants to hear. And I just walked up to her and said, been on the road you're on. You need someone to listen. They got two clean ears whenever you need them, and just walked away.
Oh, but you see, what you did was now you're paying it forward because of the experience you had. And that's what, you know, I just posted something on my Facebook page. If I had been so brilliant in the past, all of my mistakes would not have contributed to the person that I have become.
Mm-hmm.
We make our mistakes. We have our stumbles. We look for support within other people. We find out who our friends really are. And we learn, hopefully. And that's the best thing we can give as our legacy to the rest of the world, that we can learn from whatever we have gone through, and we can be better people as a result.
And we all have the capability of giving. It's just a matter of, do we want to be honest enough with ourselves,
yeah,
of what our capabilities are in giving, as opposed to being, here's that S word again, I think, applied to the proper way, or are we going to be selfish at the cost of others?
Well, it's all about everybody else. When you have a relationship, because I'm a relationship expert, but when you have a relationship, it's not so much about being involved with another person. It's about growing as a result of that other person being involved with you. Now, if that's not selfish, I don't know what is. And you know, happily, it's selfish. And it's selfish to be breathing. How dare us take that speck of air and claim that as our own?
Well, the old saying is, you always want to see someone do good. You just don't want them to see them do better than you.
And so it is said. But you know what? Everybody does better than us in their own field. And if you recognize that you have a cutout of where you are in this world that is not mirrored by anybody else, and your cutout is significant and different from everybody else's, then there's no reason to be envious or jealous. And when somebody does well in my circle, I say, wow, congratulations. I'm so glad for you.
Let me give you a couple of phone numbers. If the news, the reality, and maybe even something said in this segment is helping you understand yourself and the situation you're in, and maybe that pendulum of having you in the lights over to the dark, and you see the pendulum in your mind swinging more to the dark side, there is help. There are outlets. There are resources. If you can't find it within your circle of family and friends in New Jersey, it's called the New Jersey Hope Line. It's 1-855, toll-free call, 24 hours, 1-855-654-6735. We'll post this number over at the website, too, 1-855-654-6735. And if you're listening on the stream, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is, this is a little bit easier to remember, 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. And that last part is very important, because you need to talk, you need to be honest, you need to be forthright, first and foremost with yourself, and as you reach out to others, because that will be the way to put the jigsaw puzzle that you feel like right now, with everything on the outside seemingly out of reach as far as anything with the sunshine and laughter and happiness, and it'll help that reconnection start. It might not be an easy journey back, but it's a journey that you have to take, and you owe it to yourself to take it as well. New Jersey Hope Line, it's 1-855-654-6735. And on the stream, if you're listening, National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-TALK. And as you're wandering around the web, learn more about the work and the books and everything about Dr. Gilda at drgilda.com. Find out more about Country Cures. It's a very important program that's making a difference in a way that you probably wouldn't imagine it could be done. And that's countrycures.org. And Dr. Gilda, well, first of all, how much do I owe you for the session today?
Oh, come on. It was as much benefit to me as it was to you. So I hope that it is as much as of a benefit to everybody out there who's hearing this, because you mentioned, you know, getting on with your life. But, you know, when you look back, as you just did, and are so honestly reflective of what happened and how far you've come, boy, you can pat yourself on the back and congratulate yourself for having come such a long way.